I think it's important to know that a lot of times your goals will and should change over time.
Yes.
Because as you evolve, your goals will evolve with you. I sort of call this process like this process of cyclical awakening. You know, you have this big vision, you write down your plan, you go for the actions, all of your energy hones in on that one thing. And then that vision is realized. And with the realization of that vision, you become different.
Welcome to the Andrea Engstrom Show for Bold Women in Business. We are passionate about helping you break through to your next level of abundance, success, and freedom so that you can create the life you desire and inspire others to do the same. I'm your host, Andrea Engstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Brenda Stroud. Hey, Brenda.
Hey, Andrea. On today's show, we're going to talk about setting goals for 2025. Our guest today is a real estate investor and coach, Vanessa Lakowitz. Hello. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So glad to be here.
Vanessa is an accomplished real estate investor and mindset and goal setting coach in rocking our assets in real estate, or REI, also known as ROAR. Vanessa, tell us about your journey in as an entrepreneur.
Oh my gosh, where do I start? My journey, much like everyone else's in real estate, started right around COVID. I am actually a trained musician, and I lived in New York at the time. I was a full-time musician studying or working abroad in several bands in the city. I had my whole path set out for me, created. I had my schedule booked. I was what you would call a successful musician. There's Beyonce, and then there was all the rest of us. I was in that big old bucket of people who were making a living doing what they loved, but you know, not the big giant name attached. I had made it, and I was ready to ride that wave for the rest of my life. And then COVID hit, and a new plan emerged out of desperation and necessity, one that was a completely lost dream. And it actually started a couple of years before, when I'd realized as a full-time musician, I still wasn't going to be able to ever own anything based off of what it is that I was making. And neither were any of my counterparts as well. And it was just an accepted fact. It was almost romanticized that you're a broke musician, you're an artist, you're struggling, and this is the price for being an artist. And I kind of went against that that thought and started looking at how we could, as artists, become our own patrons, so that we can afford to make our own art, live well, have families, have homes, have a retirement, and still, and also get to choose what we do instead of, you know, the various jobs, you know, waitressing, barista, those types of things. Anyway, so it took me on a journey of investing, finance, things like that. And then COVID sort of pushed that over the edge. And I became, I had a really good opportunity to get into the real estate game. So, my husband and I, we moved from New York City. We moved to Richmond, Virginia. We, invested in ourselves, got into a good coaching program, and we just dived in. I bought in all the way. Because I had no other options. My calendar was booked before, and it was completely empty for a year, and life goes on. And so I kind of just dove in head first and started buying up real estate, not knowing exactly what I was doing, not really having that big plan. But I surrounded myself with the right people, got the education that I needed, and just kept pressing, kept moving forward, and watching myself evolve into someone that I had no idea existed as I moved forward in business. And so now here we are, 4 years later, I'm on property number 11. All of my properties I've kept. And I'm sitting on a portfolio of just under $5 million today.
Woo, awesome. Girl. That is amazing.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. You know, you were, went from kind of starving artist to the art of reinventing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Being able to pivot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. I like to call it rewriting your story. The art of rewriting, you know, and there's so much creativity, in that. A lot of times, people have the idea, especially in the arts, they think, oh, you've sold out. Like, and I'm like, no, there's so little, personal creativity in what I did before, because I was working for someone else. I was singing someone else's songs. I was doing someone else. I was, you know, parroting or I was someone else's instrument. And here, this is forging your own path. This is making your own way. There's no one here to copy. So the creativity has just been abundant in this space as well. So,
well, I like the way you put that. You were someone else's instrument. So, I mean, you know, I like that. I like that. And you were able to kind of take that on for yourself and become your own instrument. So that's amazing.
Yeah. I think that idea resonates with people, even who, I mean, you were a creative, you were a musician, mm-hmm. but feeling like you were someone else's instrument. I think even people in a W-2 job today can really relate to that. Like, I'm not playing my own tune. I'm not getting to express my creativity. And there's no end in sight. And so how did you decide what to do next? Or like, how did you figure out what would light you up or what would be exciting to you because I think sometimes we get to a point of dissatisfaction where something has to change. And sometimes we are forced into it. Yeah. Like, you had no choice to stay in what you were doing because the whole world shut down. And so you had to pivot. You had to figure out what you were going to do instead. How did you decide which direction to go?
Yeah. Really good question. That took a lot of time and a lot of trial and error. When I first started, again, it was one of those pieces of time where I was forced. I was forced out of the nest, quite literally, as we all were. The world just shut down. But from there, a lot of it was my own decision making based off of making a decision, walking the path, and realizing, ooh, I don't like it here. We're going to switch. We're going to make that switch. A lot of times, and, you know, getting into, you know, why we make our goals and why we go after the things that we do. A lot of times at the beginning, especially, we don't know exactly why we're going after the goals that we have. Right. I was blessed enough to get into actually Andrea's first program, and I had no clue what I wanted. I literally have a breakdown of our goals that we did as a group, as a mastermind group, and I remember so clearly. We went around the room. First, we wrote down what our goals were. Then we went around the room sharing what our goals were with one another. And I have evidence. I have it here somewhere, but I have evidence of myself scratching out my goals every three or four people and rewriting them based off of someone else's goal. Oh, that sounds good. I'll take that too. So then my goals became something that was completely detached from who I was and what I wanted. Because I had no clue what I wanted. I had no clue what it would take to, like the metrics behind one goal. I started with, one of my goals was I want to start with 10 houses. And then by the end of the time we went through that circle, it ended at 180 houses. What does that number even mean? You know, someone who had absolutely zero houses at the time and no prospects. No education toward it, no experience. I just knew I wanted 180 houses and I was going to make $1 million a month.
Perfect. That's a great plan.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah, I can relate.
And what I call those types of goals are non-detached. They're not attached to anything. They're detached goals. They have no roots. Mm-hmm. They're shallow. They mean nothing. They're just, they sound great, but they are a waste of time. Mm-hmm. I wrote that goal down. And as soon as I wrote it down, I had, in a sense, failed myself. Mm-hmm. Because that's first of all, not what I wanted at all, but also it's not a smart goal. It's not, you know, it's not a necessarily achievable. It's not in line with what I want my life to look like at all. It was based off of comparison with other people's things, because I had no real sense of who I was and what it is that I wanted, which were really the key component questions of what you ask yourself when you are setting goals. Mm-hmm. Who are you? Yeah. And what do you want? Am I a huge conglomerate that's going to put up, you know, apartment complex after apartment complex and just take over the country with all of my, no, that's actually not who I am. I have absolutely no desire to do that. But my goals were assigned to that person, mm-hmm. which made it completely, you know, it can make you feel like a failure when you don't reach a goal that you were never supposed to have.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
So what do you think happened that caused that to pivot, for you to pivot from realizing that the goals that I have set are not necessarily really your goals, and allow you to narrow down or narrow into what your true goals are now? Looking back on that time, what was that moment where you realized, like, okay, wait a minute, let me put all this to the side. Now let me actually talk about my goals.
Oh my gosh. So easy. I did one house.
Okay. Experience.
I did. I put a metric together. Okay. If I want this many, whatever X dollar, I mean, X amount of houses was, how long, how much time, how much energy, how much space mm-hmm. does one take?
Yeah.
And I learned very quickly, as many people do, as everyone does that first time, okay, this is this takes much more time, much more energy, much more money, much more of me than I anticipated and that I'm willing to give. Mm-hmm. And so now I need to go back and reassess what my goals are and why my goals are. And I think it's important to know that a lot of times your goals will and should change over time.
Yes.
Because as you evolve, your goals will evolve with you. I sort of call this process like this process of cyclical awakening. You know, you have this big vision and then you write down your plan, you go for the actions, all of your energy hones in on that one thing. And then that vision is realized. And with the realization of that vision, you become different because you've gone through this whole process of becoming the person that can, you know, realize this vision.
Yeah.
So then by the time you get to the end, you have a completely different vision of who you are, of what you want.
Yeah.
And that didn't look anything like what it is that you started. And that onion, that blossoming of effect continues over and over and over and over. So many people look at where you were 10 years ago.
Right.
Could you imagine where you are today? It was a process of so many blossoms and blooms and peel back of layer after layer after layer that had to happen each step to continue to get you to where you are today. And it will continue to the where you are in the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think so many women feel like if they set a big, audacious, hairy goal and then they don't achieve it, that there is failure, mm-hmm. that is a failure. And I love what you shared about how when it's kind of like when we learn better, we do better. And when we have an experience, like when we actually experience steps along the path towards reaching that goal, and that it is okay to recognize that it is that your goals have changed. And sometimes it is because your values have shifted, because we are recognizing, like, I want to value relationships more than money during this season in my life, or that I want to value time with, you know, time and maybe time with people we love, but that there's other things that are, you're recognizing are actually more important to you. So that shift in values causes us to reassess our goals. And there is no failure in that. It is, it's called alignment, right? It's because now we're coming into alignment. And I think deciding what your, what you really want your life to look like is more important than setting a business goal. First, we've got to decide what do we want our life to look like, right? Yeah. And then set business goals that align with that life. But until you've tried it, you don't actually know sometimes what it means.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Absolutely. I love that. That's it. And that's really the secret sauce to it all, really. For me, at least it was, is understanding or asking the question, who am I and what do I want? And so often, especially when I started off my journey, that was so robotic. I am a real estate investor. I am a this, I am a that, and I want this much money and I want this much success. And then as I got, as I dove deeper into myself and into business, I realized, oh, I need a deeper reason for doing this, because otherwise it ain't worth it. I really want. And when you have that question and you look at that question, many times, like if you ever come up with, I want a dollar amount of money, you haven't gone deep enough. Because what for? If I put $7 million in each of you guys' bank accounts right now, and you guys, hey, you guys want your, okay, 100 million. Let's just throw it out. Ooh, I put $100 million in you guys' accounts right now. You look and you got it like, oh, okay, Chase, let's do this. But you can't touch it. You can't spend it. You can't do anything with it. All you can do is have it. What good is it to you?
Right.
It's a tool. It's a tool to get you the thing that you really want. So focusing on what you really want and identifying what it is. What is it that I want? It's not, it shouldn't ever be money. What are you going to do with the money? That's what you want.
Yeah.
Where do you want your life to look like? What time do you want to wake up in the morning? What are you doing on a Tuesday afternoon? Are you picking up your kids every day? Are you running from meeting to meeting? What do you want your life to look like? What's your vision? And in my program, I really try to hone in on understanding that the first thing that you're doing is creating. You create first, you strategize second. And creating takes vision. And that's so fun. It's so amazing, because just like we're a vision come to life. We're creator. We're created and we create if we have the boldness to do it. And the clearer our vision, the clearer we can see it, the clearer it will come to us on how to strategize to get it.
Yeah.
And that's where you start building your goals.
Yeah.
Instead of backwards, a lot of people say, okay, I'm going to get this goal. I want to do this because I want to do this. And hopefully it'll get me there. Those goals usually end, you know, 3-4 months in. But I don't remember what any of those goals were. I have a whole sheet of goals that I would write down. And by the end of the year, I'm like, nah, I don't even know what any single one of them were. I just got into the grind and started running. You know, I jumped on this hamster wheel and I've been, you know, putting out fires ever since. And as they say, the urgent battles and small goals keep you on the hamster wheel. Urgent battles. Every day there's something. Oh my gosh, I got to go do this. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, I had this. And then before you know it, that's your year.
Yeah.
You're putting out fires every single day. And you never get to ask yourself, okay, wait, am I aligned with who I am and what I want?
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you figure out what you want, Vanessa? Like, I mean, how do you, like, because some people, I think, especially women, we nobody asks, what do you really want? Nobody's asking us, like, we're the ones who ask, okay, how can, you know, what can I do for you? What do you need? How can I help you? What do you want? Making sure everybody else is happy. If you find yourself, so if somebody listening to this finds themselves in that situation where they're like, I don't even know what I want.
Yeah.
Like, how do you go about the business of figuring out who you are and what you want?
I love that. That's a really good question. And it's true, especially as women, we ask ourselves that. The last time someone asked us that, we were six.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's not a question that's asked of us, and it should be. Not only because a lot of times, even though, you know, men are the head of household, but really we know women are the soil from which all things grow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
We're the soil. So what we want deeply, deeply, deeply matters. How we go about it is being watched by everyone in the household.
Yeah.
So it's important that not only, a lot of these things are you know, seen as luxuries, the act of, or the time it takes to really explore who you are and what you want. And really, in my program, I take everyone through a series of a bunch of questions that they get a chance to, and it's not, and some of them are serious, some of them aren't serious, but they're all designed to tell you what it is that you really want. Not very few of them are about how much money you want in the bank, because who cares? Mm-hmm. You know, who cares? Yeah. You could have, look at the world today. There are a bunch of people with a bunch of money in the bank and they're so unhappy.
Yeah.
And also people in the world that have nothing and they're overjoyed because they get to spend all of their time doing the things that they want to do, being person that they want to be. So things like one for me, you know, I as a musician, having children was not in the cards for me. I was paycheck to paycheck to paycheck to paycheck most of the time, really short, coming up short, like real bad. Yeah. Most of us are bunking with each other, especially in this city. You know, it's not really a conducive place for, you know, bringing up your young. And so for me, it wasn't something that was in the question. I just sort of pushed it off as that's not going to be for me unless some miracle happens and blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I took myself through this exercise of not necessarily asking what I want now, because let's face it, how fast does a year go by? It's gone.
Right. Christmas is right around the corner.
But New Year's was also just yesterday, you know? And so we need a larger span of time to work with. And so I usually start 5 years, 10 years. I've taken this thing out to 20, 30, 40 years before and asking myself, what does my life look like then? What does my life look like in 10 years from now? How old am I? Mm-hmm. Where am I at?
Yeah.
Where do I live? And so I did an exercise 2 years ago or a year and a half ago that said, and one of the questions that I asked myself was, in 20 years, who's sitting at my Thanksgiving table? Because right now it's just me and my husband looking at each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, who's at my Thanksgiving table?
Yeah.
And in my mind's eye, and there's no, you know, trick to it. It's just what I wanted. I wanted to sit with, I sat with my adult children, mostly adultish children, teenagers, young 20s, and I was pouring into them and they were pouring into me. And we were having this dialogue and this communication and this relationship. And I was overjoyed by the thought.
Yeah.
Now, this was a year and a half ago. And I said, I don't have any kids. I have no plans for kids. But if I want to get to there in 20 years, what does that mean for me today?
Yeah.
And then I set my goals based off something that I want in 20 years.
Yeah. That's good.
And then my life started moving toward that direction. Those are the sort of questions that you want to answer. When you open your eyes in the morning, what do you see? What do you actually see? What color is it? What time are you starting work? You starting work at 7 a.m.? You starting work at 9? You starting work at 11? What time are you done with work? What are you doing on the weekends? How short or long is your week?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 10 years time. You know, you got to give yourself time to get there. But a lot of times, once you really narrow down like exactly what it is that you want, you can start to smush that time together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Once you strategize a plan, and I'll go into a little bit about how I strategize my plans. You can start to push time together and compound time so that a goal that is supposed to take 5 years takes 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you guys know about that. Like, okay, you know, if I stack this on top of that and this thing over here, then my 10-year goal just turned into 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're getting into big space, big stuff, because you're buying yourself what people say can't be bought.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
You know, Josiah and I recently took a trip to Italy. I took my mastermind group, one of my mastermind groups to Italy this year. And we started to dream different dreams for what life could look like. We're like, maybe we want a house here. Maybe like that's part of the future. And we stopped and we said, okay, what is it that we really love about that experience? So we experienced mm-hmm. something new and then said, what is it that we really want like our life to look like based on what we've learned about ourselves in this experience? And I said, you know, part of the beautiful thing that they do in Italy is when they sit around tables and they eat and they drink and they have conversation and they do it 4 hours.
Yeah.
And we tend to eat dinner on the couch or at the bar in the kitchen, like the breakfast bar in the kitchen, or like, it just becomes like a passing thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it made us go, you know what? I think what we really are longing for here is more time around the table with our family. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to buy a house in Italy in order to do that. We might still buy a house in Italy, y'all, but
yeah.
But when we sit down and we do the answer the types of questions that you're talking about, Vanessa, what I love is that often I think we will realize that there are things that we think we have to wait for some date off in the future. When we are successful, my life will look like this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I will have a miracle morning every day. I will wake up at this time. I will get to the gym. I will do exercise. I'll have a quiet time. And it's like, why do you think you have to achieve a certain level of success before you can make your life look like some of the things you want it to look like? Why do you have to wait until you're successful to sit around a table with your family? We don't. We think, and it's like when we get really honest about what we really want, a lot of times it doesn't take a big, we don't have to buy 180 houses in order to make that happen, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, what I just heard you say, Andrea, is that sometimes in order to really clearly understand your goals, you got to live your life.
Yeah.
You got to go out and do the things. And then, and I love the way you guys kind of work through that from, hey, we might need to do this in Italy, and realizing like, no, this is the piece that we're really attracted to. So we can do that anywhere.
Yeah.
So be giving yourself permission to have experiences, but also the opportunity to kind of sort through, what do I like about this experience? And is this something I can create regardless of where I am? And I like the way you guys got to that, because you're absolutely right. The whole being able to sit around the table with your family, you know, to go from a microwave life, because that's usually what we live in here in the States, to something that's, you know, more, you know, long-term and communal and all of those things. There's nothing wrong with that. And mm-hmm. so to give yourself permission to do that, to want to go back a little bit when it comes down to family time. And because there was a point in time when you're sitting around the table with 3 or 4 generations talking about everything that's going on, not only in your life, but in the family life. And that was the life. I mean, that was the joy, going to your grandparents' house for the holidays or whatever. Mm-hmm. It created that environment and also provided opportunities for the younger people to set some goals that's more realistic to what they've already seen other people accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great.
Well, Vanessa, you know, we're at a time of year where everybody's thinking about goal setting. We're thinking about what we want our life to look like. What's going to be different? Oh, it's going to be different this year. And so if you would you share with us some principles or what are some things that people should be doing, particularly at this time of the year when it's top of mind? What are some good principles for goal setting that you recommend?
Absolutely. I'll go through a couple really quick for you. A lot of times our goals, we have too many goals we focus on. Peter Drucker says that if you have more than five goals, you have none. Jim Collins says if you have more than three priorities, you don't have any. And the more we chop down on our goals, not to say that they're not important, but the goals that you want to really focus on are, what do you want in a certain amount of time? And what are the three ones that you must have? What are the three most important ones that speak to you? And you focus on those three. Just like, you know, you and Brenda were just speaking on, a lot of times it's money focused, it's money driven. And, you know, once you get to the money goal, or once you're on your way to it, you'll find it's completely unfulfilling. Yeah. So having that like life satisfaction snapshot, mm-hmm. and understanding, you know, what it is, what am like, where am I at now? And what are the things that are important to me? And what can I do to get to the who I am and what I want portion of my life? And focusing on those big three goals is so important, because if our energies are split, mm-hmm. too many places, we only have, you know, say we have 100% energy at the beginning of the day. How much of that energy is going toward our family? Mm-hmm. What's the percentage? What's the percentage of the energy that's going to each of our goals? If we have seven goals, then there can only be a very small amount of energy going toward each of them. But if we narrow down and cut down that to three, and really actually only one at a time, yeah. then all of your energy, all of your focus goes to going toward one thing. And that thing's going to bring you the happiness to bring you to the next thing. There's a lot of ways that you can go about actually really taking your goal and putting it into your everyday activity. A lot of people say like, well, how can I, you know, take this goal? Okay, so let's take, you know, Andrea, you want to move to Italy. That's the big goal. I have a little piece of paper here. My very first, what I call, what's called a mind map. I'm going to show it to you guys. I made this in 2013. My first mind map. I wanted to move to New York City from little Colorado. Everyone thought I was completely insane. What? You're going to leave your good government job to go and be a musician in New York City? Who do you think you are? And I had the audacity, you know? And so what I did was I took my big goal and I thought of every little thing I could think of around that goal. Yeah. New York City. What do I need? Where do I want to live? What borough? What job? Who do I know there? How much money am I going to need to get there? What am I going to do when I get there? Do I want to live? Who do I know? Do I know family, friends? Do I like, what's the overarching plan? And then each of those sub thoughts got its own little page. And again, I did the same process. Say it was for, a job in the middle. And then, who do I know? Like what, who can get me a job? What kind of jobs am I looking for? Where can I work? Do I have any connections there for this, that, and that, and the other? And really breaking it down. And then from there, writing a task. Mm-hmm. Reach out to this person. Reach out to that person. Apply here. Apply right there. Try to put this thing together. Are we going to be an entrepreneur? Write down five businesses that you can start working at. And on top of that, put a date next to it. When do I want to do this by? It was August. I want all of this done by September. So this week I'm going to do this. And this next week I'm going to do this. And then there becomes that compressing. Oh, well, my phone call that I said I was going to do this week only actually took me 20 minutes. So I'm going to move on to the next thing. mm-hmm. that I have for the week, the next week. I'm going to do that today. So then instead of it taking a month to do, it took a week. So then I can move on to the next thing. So then I can, my timeline became much shorter because I kept pressing and moving my dates closer and closer together as I could. And so then it became a, okay, I know that I want to move to New York in 1 year's time, but I've actually done all the things in 3 months. So now I can just move. Why wait? I can just do those things now. And so it's all about trying to figure out what it is, who you are, mm-hmm. what you want, and writing that stuff down, and then making a plan around it, around your everyday life, your everyday things. So, Andrea, you're like, oh, maybe we'll move to Italy. Okay, so Italy. Everything about Italy. Where in Italy? What time in Italy? When do you want to be there by? What do you have to do for your work in order to free yourself? Uh-huh. What about the kids? Are they going to be little Italians, Italian in school? What are we going to do with them? What does it look like? And then each one of those categories or subcategories gets its own sheet, and that gets all of the thoughts around it. What are we going to do with the kids in school? Mm-hmm. Online school, ? What schools are in, Tuscany, what can we do with them? Is it going to be a part-time situation? All those things. And then if there's a task involved in that, put a date and, put it all in order and put a date next to all those things so you can start to see a picture. And so while you're at your everyday 9-to-5, you still are working in the background at the big picture goal.
Right.
And really pushing those things together. And then before you know it, you have a full picture.
Right.
Of an implemented picture. And then the hard part comes. You got to actually just go and do the thing because you've done all the homework.
Right.
Yes.
Putting action behind it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I like
exactly.
It. Yeah.
Knowledge doesn't change your life. Implementation of that knowledge changes your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever we're walking through goal setting, with my mastermind group, one of the things that we always want to get to is what's the one thing. Mm-hmm. And so when you get those top, you figure out like, oh, I have goals in each of these categories. What are my top goals? And then even taking it a step further to say like, of the three top goals that I set, what's the one thing that I could do such that by doing it, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. And to be able to kind of not eliminate, like we're not going to say, well, I'm not going to work on my health at all until I accomplish this other thing. Right. But it's what's the priority, what's the main focus, and to make sure that just like you were describing, like that, taking steps to every day or every week, yeah. that you're doing something. And that's really the point, is that you're doing something to move it forward. Like the only thing that is doing the thing is doing the thing. We're not thinking about it. We're not just talking right. about it. We're taking action and doing the thing. But to have that level of clarity, because, goals are like a web, right? And it's kind of like, if we think about what are the things that need to happen in order for something else to become easier or unnecessary. And, for our women entrepreneurs out there, a lot of times that one thing has nothing to do with business.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with business. And, because when our health is off, when our relationships are toxic, like it makes everything else more difficult and more right. cumbersome. And so to like take that time that we're talking about and really think about what do you really want? What do you want your life to look like? What's really important to you? And figuring out like of those top goals, like Vanessa's talking about, what's the one thing? And that comes from a book by Gary Keller. I didn't make that up. The one thing is such a good read, but I love that. Then prioritizing your priorities.
Right.
Yeah. Putting those into practice. Cause you're right. You can absolutely see your timeline shrink down.
Right.
Because you're moving it forward.
Absolutely. It's magic.
It is magic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think we get overwhelmed sometimes when we start to implement, because it's like we could make a list of 50 things that we need to do. But just like you were describing with moving to, like, steps to move to New York or something, it's like a lot of the stuff that we put on our list actually can be completed in 10 or 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I got to make this phone call. I've got to learn more about this thing so that I can take my next step. So I think sometimes we let the whole thing be overwhelming, but that next step you're talking about, breaking it into bite-sized pieces that you can take action on a regular basis, can absolutely condense your timeline.
Absolutely. So yes. Good.
That's all right. Well, this is amazing. I'm so excited for what you're doing. And I think, you know, Vanessa, people maybe don't know this about you, but by the time this episode airs, I think you're going to be holding a new family member. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I am 9 months pregnant currently. Awesome. I'm hoping to make it through Thanksgiving. For obvious reasons, I love to eat and I want to one more Thanksgiving. We are running to the finish line. You know, if I'm ready or not, here she comes. So, by the time this airs, I will have been a mom for like several weeks.
I'm so excited for you and Hunter. And I heard you say she, so baby girl is on her way, huh?
Yes. Melody Grace Lackaway.
Okay. Beautiful.
So I'm so excited. And again, goes to show, like, all right, you know, here's to 20 years, and creating that vision now.
Awesome. I love it. And I also want to commend you for the shifts that you've made also in your goals and your priorities in order to make family a priority in this season of your life. Cause I think even when we first met, you were in sprint mode. You were running as fast as you could. You were like, I need houses. I'm going to get more houses. Like got to do the thing, all the things. And there's been a major shift in you in terms of you getting clarity about what you really want your life to look like. Yeah. And it's beautiful to see that come into fruition.
It is.
Thank you so much. Yes. It's been quite a journey and you guys have been there for a good chunk of the mess of it all. You guys have watched it to front row seat. I appreciate both of you guys, without which I would not be where I am today. That is abundantly clear. God put you guys in my path, and I am all the better for it, for sure.
Love it. Well, Vanessa, one of the things we like to do for our listeners each week is challenge them to take bold action in an area of their life to gain clarity and confidence. So what is something that you would challenge our listeners to do this week, especially right here at the start of a new year? What's something you would challenge them to do to take bold action?
Absolutely. I would challenge you guys to take some time and ask yourself the question of who you are and what it is that you want. And not really necessarily look at who you are today, because you're not the same person you were 10 years ago. You're not going to be the same person you are today, tomorrow. Right. Look at who you want to be in 10 years and change that want to who you are. Change the vocabulary. And then write down the vision, make it plain so that anyone who reads it can run with it. That's, what is that?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. Yeah.
2:3 or something. Yeah.
Look that one up. We all know it. Write down the vision, make it plain so that he who reads it can run with it. Write it down. Who am I in 10 years' time? And start with who do I want to be? And then scratch out that want and put who am I each time. And then watch your life begin to change as you realize who you are and what it is that you want and how important it is that you go after that woman, that person, and what it is that she wants and desires.
I love it. Amen. Well, Vanessa, what is the best way for someone to connect with you if they want to talk about how to work with you or learn more from you?
Absolutely. If you're interested in learning more about my program, it's called the Rewrite Revolution. You can find it on Facebook. If you are just wanting to connect with me and be homegirls, I'm down for that too. You can find me on Instagram at This Is Vanessa Angel. You can find me on Facebook at Vanessa Lakowitz. And you can just connect with me. I'm definitely open to, you know, friending all of you all and enjoying each other's journeys as we go.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much to our listeners for joining us today. If you want to gain more clarity in your life and business, I also want to invite you to join me for a free workshop for women entrepreneurs on how to build clarity, confidence, and make powerful connections so that you can increase your income, live your best life, and inspire others to do the same. You can register for a workshop at AndreaEngstrom.com for free. And if something on the show resonated with you, would you just let us know? Give us a review on the podcast. If you know a sister who needs to hear what Vanessa was sharing with us today, please share this episode with a sister. And I also want to invite you to join my free Facebook group, Bold Women in Business Sisterhood. Thank you again, my co-host, Brenda. Love having you every week.
Love being here. Thank you, Vanessa. We really enjoyed spending this time with you today. Such a blessing.
Thank you. I'm honored. You guys are amazing. Glad to be a part of it.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, till next time, I'm Andrea Engstrom, and we are your sisters in business, encouraging you to take action on your dreams. Show up to your life with power and authenticity. Be bold, be tenacious, and make it happen.
Bye.